Hey, you!
What?
Listening to this podcast right now!
Me?
Do you want to hear a fucking podcast about anything and everything?
Yeah.
Like movies,
oh my
music,
God.
Television, and more?
Oh my God.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
Subscribe to Journey Into Comics Network, and you get Podcastrophe,
oh
hosted
God.
By me,
yes.
Dick. Why not throw a couple bucks to the Patreon? It's
yes.
your choice. Yeah. This is a Podcastrophe.
That sounds so awesome.
The following is a Journey Into Comics Network production.
To a nicer guy, it couldn't happen.
I'm the man of the hour, the man with the power.
Diamonds are forever.
He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family.
And what you gonna do, Andre?
History beckons the Macho Man.
Yeah. The best there is, the best there was.
Austin 316 said I just whipped your ass.
Two words for ya.
Two words.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of Journey Into Wrestling. I am your host, Nate. Today, here joining me, as always, my co-tag team, five-time tag team champion, five-time. I don't know why it's five times, Brando. But Brando, what's up, my friend?
Batista is down.
Was that just the thumbs down? Like,
No. A long time ago, me and Rob were watching wrestling one time, and it's back when King Booker.
Oh, yeah, King Booker and Charmel.
Or Booker T, whatever, he was feuding with Batista, but he was doing guest commentary for a match with Batista, and Batista got attacked and was on the outside, and he just kept repeating, "Batista is down! Batista is down!" And Michael Cole would say something, "Batista is down! What's going to happen, Booker? Batista is down!" And he just kept, like, me and Rob were in tears. He just kept saying it. He said it like 12 times. Batista is dead. He just had nothing else to say.
I feel like sometimes, though, when that happens, like, you get put on the spot and you're just like running with the, what, you know, whatever the gag is. So you just keep doing it until it like finds a resolve, because you want to just like fucking get the gag out there and say whatever the fucking weird line is. And he probably was like, you know what, at some point I'm going to knock Batista down and say, Batista is down, and it's going to come to me in the moment what I want to say next. And it never came to him. He just was like, Batista is down, you know. Man, Brando, dude, it's been a little bit since we talked wrestling. SummerSlam's been a little bit back. I feel like there's like a lot of like almost too much shit to talk about, but we kind of narrowed some things down today. Did you hear about this shit with the Bullet Club?
I did, yes. Ironically, they just did like a DX style invasion. When they were in Ontario, they were going to be in town anyway, so they just sort of like appeared outside the venue and was, you know, doing stuff to entertain the fans and kind of did that kind of style thing. Ironically, a few days later, the Young Bucks get a little cease and desist over using the little Wolf Pack
too sweet
thing, and the irony of this is that I just saw on a video shared, I believe, on Facebook by WWE, the origin of this.
Okay.
Irony that just a few days ago, they sent a cease and desist over the hand gesture. Of course, the Bullet Club has been using this because the Bullet Club is a homage
to that
the
era.
Or it, you know, to the NWO, to the that era of faction, if you will, specifically the NWO. I mean, if you think like in another world where instead of like the WWF buying WCW, if it just sort of went up for assets, the New Japan might have actually have tried to get the NWO license, maybe, Because it's basically, you know, it's based off something that they did first. And then the New Japan had their own version of the NWO over there. So just think about it, how in a different world, the Bullet Club could be the modern day NWO.
Oh, absolutely, dude. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. They are super fucking entertaining. I hadn't been watching any of the Being the Elite channel that they have on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen any of that with the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll and Cody and Hangman and all those guys. But, you know, to talk for a minute about the usage of the Too Sweet and the gimmick infringement or whatever the fuck they're going to say it is, it's weird because... So Ollie Davis, I listen to Wrestle Ramble and, you know, Wrestle Talk News on YouTube, and Ollie was talking about how the Young Bucks actually started using this gesture at a time when WWE actually didn't have the rights. And the only thing that sucks here is, while technically in a lot of ways you would assume this could probably be thrown out and the Young Bucks could totally go on using it no problem, they probably can't have merch anymore that says Too Sweet. But of course, I don't know if you saw, they already have a new shirt out that says cease and desist. Too, and then have, sweet is all bleeped out.
And they have like their hands censored.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think to me, it's like, could this also be a work? You know, I feel like WWE is really good about scooping up their talent. It has been clear that Cody has been wanted back. Michael Hayes himself had said in a tweet the other day, you know, that it would be awesome to get Cody and Goldie together for a tag match against the Broken Hardys at Starrcade in November.
Starrcade. Let's talk about Starrcade. What the hell? It's a live event, right?
Live event only, yes.
Live event. And it's, they're doing it in name due to where they're at. They're in North Carolina. And I guess they're going to be competing on the same day as an event called WrestleCade.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
And they're doing it to like sort of combat that. Let's bring back the number one. You have Clash of Champions.
Yep.
Which is a version of Clash of the Champions.
Yep.
Which was a Crockett thing.
Yep.
Might have been WCW by that point, but it might have still been Crockett. It's in that era.
Lines are blurred there.
Starrcade is a Crockett thing.
Yes.
It started as Crockett. Now, if you're going to bring the name back, at least air something.
Well, I feel like what you could do is like maybe, you know, obviously it's a big deal, and you know the WWE is not going to do this event and not film it in some capacity. I'm guessing it will be a down the road thing for the network, or they'll maybe the day before be like, oh, subscribe to the network and get free access to Starrcade. We weren't going to air it, but there's so much demand, you know? It's weird. The thing that I kind of am bummed about is you're doing this live event, and I saw a video today of Jinder Mahal hyping his steel cage match with Shinsuke Nakamura, and I'm thinking, like, motherfuckers, you're like in the middle of a feud where I don't know if Jinder's the champion on the other side, so why are you... Like, I get you want to hype it, and I get you want to do all that, but, like, be mindful of how you're filming your promos for these matches, and why are you making that a match? Like, why are we going to have Shinsuke Jinder that long? I'm sorry, but kind of bothers me, dude. It's not that great of a feud, and it kind of sucks because Jinder, I get it. He's trying. He's great. He's supposed to be the heel champion that people don't like, but I feel like putting Shinsuke with him is not helping either of them. At all. That's my piece.
Now, I have heard something.
Okay.
That Jinder may be champion until Mania.
Okay.
Okay. There might be doing the whole, this is like the modern day JBL type thing. Where he'd be a long ass WWE champion.
He already surpassed Flair's reign.
Yeah, both of them.
Yep.
So, here's my two cents on it.
Sure.
Who else on the roster right now should be WWE champion if it's not gender?
On the roster right now on SmackDown?
Yes.
Well, I think Shinsuke deserves a shot to be champ. Like, genuinely, I think he can carry that show as a good guy. But then you also look at moving belts around and maybe giving Ty Dillinger the U.S. title to put AJ back as champ. Or you could do Dolph as champ, would be believable. I love the gimmicks thing he's got going on, you know, style over substance. I really dig that kind of, he's making a really good point, like, why the fuck does it matter about the flashy entrance? Like, is that what you guys are going to pop over is the fucking entrance? It's not about the work that's being done in the ring. So those are the guys I think anyways.
I really think we should be moving towards Shinsuke beating gender to be a transitional champion.
Okay.
To give the title to Owens.
Oh, dude, yes.
Owens coming out of his feud with Shane. He's been taken to the next level, so to speak, after what he did to Vince, which we haven't talked about that. He beat the crap out of Vince and hard-weighed him.
Man. Woo.
It was a great, great segment. Awesome segment. You give him the belt. You do this weird little thing where you're playing with, it's funny because on one show, you're pushing Roman as the big top babyface. All the fans are booing him. And then you're pushing Owens as the top heel, and all the fans are cheering him. Okay.
Yep.
But then you position the chosen one by, you would assume that Owens is going to feud with Stephanie as well. And her anointed one, we get her involved with the inner workings with SmackDown with Daniel Bryan. And I'd have Owens eliminate Shane from the picture where Stephanie has to step in.
Yeah.
And then she starts making decisions, and her chosen one, her ultimate chosen one, maybe have her pick somebody at first, but then he doesn't unseat him, and then it's Bobby Roode.
Ooh.
So you have Bobby Roode, who's the baby face, but he's chosen. It's funny because then he would be chosen by the authority.
Ooh.
So then you're torn. So because it's so easy to get out of that feud, transitioned into another feud, and so quickly turn Bobby heel if you need to.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been thinking about because, okay, I've heard a rumor that they're going to keep Jinder champion until Mania, where your two big championship matches are going to be Roman versus Lesnar and Cena versus Mahal.
Makes sense, but if you put Cena over and make him a more time champion than Flair, some people aren't going to vibe with that. Like, it's fucked up, Brando. We haven't talked about this yet, but John Cena, like, hit his stride of some of the best work he's had in his career against Roman Reigns. He spit hot fire at Roman Reigns and fucking melted Roman into, I forgot my fucking lines, bro.
That was hilarious when he forgot his line. He goes, "It's all right, you'll find it."
Yeah, he's like, "You'll find it. Just take a minute." And like he like straight up called him on being shitty at promos. And Cena is at his best, and then he goes away, and that was like sad, dude. Like I legitimately, we're gonna talk a little bit about No Mercy, but like him losing that match, and everything kind of around it. God, it was a fucking great match. If you didn't think that John Cena and Roman didn't tear the house down on that match, I'm shocked because they really did. They were, I know, and we'll get into, you don't have to answer that. But genuinely, like, they put on a hell of a performance, and John Cena leaving was sad to me because I remember when he first came in and he was the Doctor of Thugonomics, and he, you know, like that was the John Cena that I fucking loved. And then he became military man and good guy Cena that it, and got so driven down my throat that for a minute I didn't like John Cena. And then he started doing some of his best work on this side of his career, and it's like, fuck, now I like John Cena again, and now he's gone, you know, and he might not be, you know, he's stepping away or whatever. So to have him come back and, like, victoriously defeat Jinder at WrestleMania would be awesome and make for a great moment, honestly. Like, patriotic fucking boner and all. Like, it would just make for that kind of a moment. But, I do still think, yeah, he would definitely salute, but I still think, though, it maybe would put, again, just a fuck ton of heat, because it's weird. Jinder is like a liked champion a lot of ways. Like, people do boo him, but people also cheer the fuck out of Jinder Mahal.
If John Cena breaks Flair's record, I honestly don't think it's going to be that big a deal. I think Cena has now reached as close as he's going to get to golden age.
Okay.
Where people are cheering him now more so than they have been because of how dedicated it's that you don't realize what you got until it's gone kind of thing. It's like,
yes,
here's this guy who has given so much for this business. And yeah, people boot the crap out of him. They were tired of the character. They were tired of this and that. They got tired of him being shoved down the throats as being the guy and always main eventing pay-per-views when CM Punk was the champion and when Daniel Bryan was the champion. All this kind of things that were kind of going on where Cena's seen as the bigger star, so he gets the main event, so to speak. You get all of that. But then you have the respect. You have the, dude, this kid... This guy was a fan just like me. The only difference is that he got to do it, and he got to live it. He's living his dream, and now he's 40, so he's in the twilight of his career. He's not going to be gone forever, but he's going to go, and he's going to go do different shit because he needs to. He's doing exactly what he criticized The Rock for doing a few years ago. But he's at a different point in his life.
I think he went harder longer than Rock.
He did. Oh no, he definitely did.
I mean, he's John Cena. Like, I don't give a fuck about Five Moves of Doom or any of that shit, or, you know, all like his career is actually like, wow, this dude, he said it best when he said nobody, this was on the Raw, like, the Raw talk after No Mercy, he said nobody has done it as like at that level for as long as I have ever. Like, no offense to anybody, but he's like, I've not just been like competing for a long time at a high level. I've been competing at the highest level for the entirety of my career, essentially, because they gave it to him right out the gate. And from U.S. title number one when he beat Big Show all the way to beating JBL in his first world title and then everything that happened after that, like, he was the chosen one and he didn't fuck up. He did it 100%. Represented the company greatly. So,
a lot of people think of him as the modern day Hulk Hogan. There's a lot of truth in that, but I kind of see it more now, I guess, as he's the more of the modern day Bruno Sammartino, with the sheer length that Bruno had an 8-year title run. Granted, it's a different era. It's a different, complete different era. But altogether, Bruno was champion for 12 years almost. And so he was on top for a long time.
Yep.
And at that point in this company, okay, Cena didn't have the belt for that long, but he's going to run for that long on top, if not longer. And he's going to break the record for most world title holds. I mean, some of those are pretty short. But not all of Flair's were all of, like, some of those WCW reigns were not very very much to brag, you know, to brag around home about. So, here's the thing that concerns me, okay? Because I feel like they are going to boo Roman.
Yep.
No matter what, when it comes to Mania.
Yep.
So, you have Cena. If Cena, it's so weird to me because you would think that both of these things people are just going to boo for. But if Cena gets that nod and he gets that 17th world title
on that stage
at WrestleMania, that's bigger than Roman getting it again.
Yep.
And like, who do you have close the show? Your new guy or your old guy? So I can definitely see Vince going with the new guy. So you have the old guy get the kind of the bigger, meaningful thing. He won his 17th world title, where, you know, the recognized title reigns of Rick are 16. So he's already tied it, but now he's officially broken, and he dethroned Mahal to do it. Now I have heard a rumor about Mahal that he may actually lose at Hell in a Cell and lose it to Shinsuke and then get it back when they tour India in December.
Oh, have him win it on home turf.
Well, because in India, he's portrayed as a babyface.
Yeah.
And so what a way to sell tickets is if the babyface, you try to get like a really big event over there and then try to set it up where, you know, he ends up, what in the world's going on here?
I don't know, bro. I don't know what's... I can just hear that cricket like crazy.
I got a siren now. Siren of my existence?
Siren, that cricket's so loud. I'm going to send you the audio later, and you're going to be like, holy shit.
Oh, no, dude. I know that damn thing is loud. I'm just telling a lot of really bad jokes is what it is.
No. No, man, you're right, though. Selling tickets, I think Jinder has to, if he's, okay, if they do that, have him go to India and to do that thing, he has to win clean. The Singh brothers can't interfere over there. They have to just not. And it's interesting because all these different match types they've been having, Hell in a Cell, and then they're supposed to have a steel cage match at Starrcade.
Well, here's the thing, is that that's a live event, and it's a special live event, but all the cards are subject to change. So when you're booking, you can't get too hung up with what you're doing on TV and pay-per-view. Your live events are different than than what's going on TV. You might be wrestling the same guy that you're wrestling on TV, but literally you're traveling around the country having the same exact match and trying to figure out what to do on TV next week or what to do on the pay-per-view. That's where you're figuring your shit out. And then so you said it where that having Shinsuke in this feud is not doing either one of them any favors. And I agree with you because I think Mahal needs to be in there with somebody who can talk.
Correct.
To be honest with you. No offense to Shinsuke. He's a great worker. Legendary worker. But one way to really put some more heat into this feud would be to have Shinsuke win.
Yeah.
And then have Mahal be incensed and him trying to get the belt back. So then from Hell in a Cell, then you go into, would that be Survivor Series? Is there not?
Survivor Series is next. It's the next major one.
Well, because we have TLC, but that's a Raw pay-per-view.
Correct.
And then we have... Do we have another SmackDown one after that?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either, but that seems weird that Raw would get two. Is that the way it was last year?
I'm terrible at that kind of memory stuff.
Anyway, because then you can lead it up to where Shinsuke and Mahal lead Survivor Series teams against each other, and they don't defend the title. because the title is going to be defended at Starrcade.
Yeah.
And then from that match, that leads you into the India tour. So have Shinsuke retain in the cage, but then and the India tour have Mahal win it back, and then that ends the feud, and then he goes and feuds with somebody else to in like into the Rumble, and then
Cena's surprise entrant to win the Rumble.
Another Rumble win for Cena?
Yeah. Why not? They're going to do it. You got to expect it. Because if, I mean, look, if they don't do that, they have to give it to, here are my Roman. Top, like, God. I don't want it to be Roman. They have to, listen, that's a, like, I feel like that's a collision course anyways. Like, Roman and Lesnar have unfinished beef from the last time they matched up at WrestleMania. So, uh-huh. I mean, considering neither of them walked out champion. What up, Seth Rollins? Looking at you, my homie. To me, like if I'm picking three names to win the Rumble, to have that nod, that like have earned it, I think AJ definitely deserves to have his name in that hat. I know he's already been a champion a couple times in WWE, but to have the accolade of being a Rumble winner, I think looks good for him. It's just kind of a bonus perk. I could see Seth winning the Rumble. I could see Bray or Finn winning the Rumble. And on a little bit of a long shot, I could see Bobby Roode possibly even having the surprise comeuppance to win the Rumble. I know he's still kind of green on the main roster, but I think that would be most surprising, you know?
Who won the Money in the Bank this year?
Money in the Bank, Carmella. And who the fuck won the dudes? Oh, fucking Baron Corbin, dude. He couldn't even cash in right.
Oh, yes. I was trying to remember. It's been so long because yeah. I've been kind of out of it with the current product because I mean, and you're going to find out, I actually didn't finish the damn pay-per-view, the No Mercy.
I got
so disinterested to just going into the second match. I'm just like, I'm just going to go watch some dude play video games. I'm not going to play video games. I'm going to watch some other dude play them. But I'm like, because we're sitting here talking about, because you mentioned the Rollins thing about him cashing in, and I'm like, I don't remember who won the damn Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it was.
And it was Baron because he ended up failing, and that it led to the Survivor Series burial of one Baron Corbin. Now,
SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, that's right, SummerSlam. I think I did that at another show, too, where I called Survivor Series
hey,
SummerSlam.
Hey, real quick, I'm going to just highlight a couple things so we can move on past No Mercy, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. We already talked about, obviously, Cena and Reigns. We got Broken Cesaro.
He's the Thwith Superman.
The Thwith Superman? dude, he poor, ate that turnbuckle so hard.
Yeah,
I thought it broke his teeth off, and what actually happened is so much worse. They were jammed into his skull. Oh, it's so gross. It makes my skin crawl. It's awful.
And he finished the damn match.
Yeah, he's a fucking pro like that. And then looked like a total badass on Raw the following night. Just like he couldn't open his mouth because he had surgery, so he just had to be like looking all brooding and mouth closed. That's the best I could do for radio is say mouth closed.
mouth closed, brooding man.
Braun almost beat Lesnar, and in a bizarre twist, 1F5 puts him away. I think that's terrible booking. I think it's a horrible finish.
Same thing with Joe. The same thing to Joe. Remember that?
Yeah, it's just like, look, that's another thing. How much longer are they going to shove Lesnar down our throats before it becomes too much? I think we're already on the brink because I thought, fuck, Strowman should totally win at No Mercy and just be the surprise champion and put Brock on his heels and then make Brock chase for a minute. It would be so fun to see that. And then, like, with a returning Joe.
I agree, but I disagree because when you have that kind of thing happen, and you're looking at Braun Strowman gets the he gets the surprise win. And then you said chase for a minute. I mean, where are they going? I mean, at this point, you're outlining, you're looking at WrestleMania 34, and you're booking backwards. Now, things change, as always, in this business. But if I'm Vince, and I'm looking at Roman versus Lesnar as my main event, coming out of Survivor's SummerSlam. Again, I call that by the damn wrong name.
It's okay. It's the SS's that fuck you up.
The SS's, yes. Coming out of that, going into September, you're looking at, we got to start shaping that. Now, Lesnar's going to go through somebody else before he gets to Roman.
Yep.
You know who that is?
Before he gets through Roman, oh God, I hate to say this, I feel like we have to have a Demon King match.
Yep.
Because Finn has never had a proper rematch for the title, and if everybody else is fucking fallen, you get my mind going, Brando, because it's like, fuck, do you give it to Finn? Do you do the crazy thing? I think,
Nope, because here's what it is. This is Lesnar's last year.
Well, yeah, he wants to go back to the UFC and fight Jon Jones.
So he's done. He's more than likely done after Mania.
Yeah.
So why? What do you do with Lesnar if you have? What do you do with him if you have Finn get the surprise win on him?
Well, there's a pay-per-view between when you could have Finn. I mean, if Finn beats him at Royal Rumble, there's like what, Roadblock and Fastlane before Mania now? So you have two
One's one. Raw's only one.
So yeah, it would be one of the two, but still you have an opportunity there where Lesnar can cleanly win and tidy up whatever he's tidying up, and it's just like, even Paul Heyman is just like, this is just
where's his momentum?
Well,
what do you do with Finn?
You're asking the unaskable questions that I haven't thought long enough to give good answers
because I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, like, they kind of did it last year, and I agreed with it, but I'm also using that same point to say that's why you shouldn't do it with the whole Goldberg thing, and with Goldberg beating Owens, going into Mania where Goldberg and Lesnar were going to wrestle for the Universal title, and then Owens ended up wrestling Jericho.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they had a storyline.
Great story. Festival of Friendship.
With the Jericho-Owens thing. I still feel like that match should have been for the Universal title. And it would have been a much deeper thing because it would have been rooted from the beginning.
Yeah.
I get why they put the Universal title on Goldberg and Lesnar, but really that match just needed the Lesnar wanting revenge type thing. I guess that title could have fit on either match, you know, and it would just be fine.
Yeah.
Really. But for Lesnar, you don't drop the belt. You don't. Because what you have with Lesnar is a legitimate badass. You pulled that card last year with Goldberg by shocking the world, having him get beat in like a minute and a half. If you shock the world again, you're not shocking the world again.
Yeah.
Having him lose again. You want to make his next... Since he beat Goldberg, he's been on a roll.
Yep.
And so you want to make his last loss, his next loss, be his last one and have it mean something. And they're wanting that last loss to mean the writing the wrong or the putting in cement the legacy of Roman Reigns. So that's where we're at. So if you're booking that, if you're looking at that and you're going into the fall, what two decisions that came out of No Mercy were definitive in pushing in that direction? You have Lesnar looking strong by beating Strowman with one F5. And then you have Roman defeating the guy before him, Cena, going forward. So now he's retired The Undertaker this year. He's defeated John Cena. You know, he's had some pretty big milestones this year as far as he hasn't been suspended this year for a violation thing.
What's left? You know.
Well, a reunion with The Shield.
That's coming. Against the Miztourage, which I think is totally fucking bogus, they could totally pick a different team.
I have heard they're going to replace people to give them more of a actual, like, challenge. So I can actually still see The Miz doing it, but I could see the other two guys, Bo Dallas and Kurt S. Axel, getting replaced with, like, The Revival or something.
That would be interesting.
I just threw that out there. I don't say... Or you could even do Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
For the tag, you know, since they're tag goals, like, have those guys have, like, have it seem like it's going to end up being the Miztourage, but then have The Shield easily dispense of Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel because it's where that's
yeah
where they are. And then it's like, the Miz is like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And then, you know, help is on the way. In the form of whatever team they choose.
Yeah, man. But
they're going to use that Shield thing to help try and get Roman in more favor with the crowd. I guarantee you.
Well, we'll see if it works. Maybe it will. There was the shimmering moment. Was that last year when they had a little mini Shield reunion for a minute?
At the Survivor Series? The actual Survivor Series, not the other one that I've been saying?
Correct. The real Survivor Series last year.
Yeah, because they did the Raw versus SmackDown thing. And Dean was on SmackDown at the time, right?
Yeah.
And they like ended up powerbombing AJ Styles to the damn table.
Yeah, which was awesome. It's weird to me, though. I want to say, talking about Miztourage and Shield. Oh, we were talking about what the build to what you do for Mania with Lesnar. Honestly, I think that Roman being in that spot is not the right spot. Granted, I know you're trying to build him as the guy. You just put him over against Cena. What's left for him to do? But if I'm booking Mania, my Universal title match would ultimately, if we can't change everything and I have to keep Brock as champ, it'd be Brock versus Braun versus Joe. The two guys who have almost put him away for real. Like, for real. You know? And that tells a compelling story because now you got the crowd having two different people who they really probably want to win, making it interesting. Who do you cheer for? Because both guys were favored and people really genuinely were pulling for Braun and Joe both to beat Lesnar when they both had their shots. Of course, it didn't work out for Joe, and of course he got hurt, but I think it was foolish for Strowman not to win. I'm all over the place with this decision because I feel like they protected Lesnar a little too long, and now no matter what you do, unless it's keeping the belt on him like you suggested, every other move is wrong. Like, it just is.
All roads lead to Roman at this point.
They really do.
Like, it is the thing that they're going to do, and no other decision at this point makes any sense to me. Like, it's the painting. You see the strokes.
Yep.
And they've already made the little, like, preamble strokes that you're, like, outlining your picture. And as the picture becomes more clear, it's like your moments of deviation can only deviate now due to injury or suspension.
Yeah.
And so unless somebody gets hurt, this isn't going to change. Roman is going to be the Universal Champion coming out of WrestleMania, and Lesnar is going to go right off into the sunset.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be.
I genuinely do. I think you're right. Like I said, I don't think there's any way to avoid that.
What they're going to do is that they're going to keep this whole Shield reunion thing that they're hinting at doing. It's going to just distract Roman long enough until we get to WrestleMania season.
Yep. And then he can start setting his sights on Lesnar, laser focus, have to be champion. Lesnar. See, and that, maybe they can, I tell you, man, he's a great worker. Honestly, I think he's athletic as hell. He's fucking super physically capable. I just think he has shit mic skills, and they need to give him a mouthpiece and stop trying to make him a talker. Like, change the whole thing, you know? Maybe it's not about his words, but it's a, like, I get it. You want him to be the next The Rock, but that's not happening. He doesn't have that charisma. He doesn't come off, in moments where he is himself, he comes off that way, but every other thing they've tried to do for him, scripting-wise and whatnot, is just, it's falling very flat. Very flat.
I hate scripts. That's one thing that I've been hating. I mentioned before that I didn't finish Hell in a Cell. And part of that was because of how bad Jason Jordan's promo was at the end of the Miz match. And holy crap, it was such a bad promo.
Yeah, why did they do that?
It was so bad. Like, literally, like, watching that promo, like, made me, that was it. That was what made me so disheartened. I couldn't even finish the pay-per-view. I turned it off. Well,
gosh darn it, I'm so disheartened. I could have beat them. Gosh darn it. My name's Jason Jordan.
You know what? When Kurt walks out, the fans lovingly tell him that he sucks. But Miz, you really do suck.
So piss poor. Like, who told him to say that? I would fire them immediately.
Oh my God, it's so bad. See,
It Vince? Vince, fire Vince.
Yeah, Vince, you're fired.
I'm fired. Wait, what?
How do I do this? I just wanted to say, I'm fired. You know?
Do you remember when you were fired by Vince?
I was fired by Vince?
Yeah, and when I was fired by Vince?
No, we were all fired by Vince.
Yeah, he hired everybody watching one night, and then he fired all of us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were fired by Vince. I totally fucking spaced that. Shit. You know what? I will say on a totally, I'm going to just divert this tangent all over because I'm staring at this belt right now, Brando. But
staring at what?
This belt here.
Because I thought you said boat.
205 Live isn't SAWST soft. Or swaft. I tell you what, man. It's weird how things kind of work out in the universe. You have Big Cass and the storyline with Enzo betrayal. And that, like, set them on their, hey, you're now on your own journey thing. And then Cass got hurt. And it was, like, right when that happened, there's, like, major heat on Enzo. And he did all these things to piss people off. And, like, Roman's pissed at him and kicks him off the bus. And he's talking shit and he's not representing the company as one should, I think. And, you know, whatever. It's his choice to live that lifestyle and be that person, you know. Everyone has their own crazy personality. And that's just who Enzo is, I guess. But in doing this, they were like, fuck it, we're going to demote this son of a bitch. And put him on 205 Live. But the thing is, they didn't really put him on 205 Live permanently. He's actually had some stuff on Raw with non-205 Live people like Braun Strowman. And I feel like someone else also he did something with that wasn't 205 Live based. So it was essentially the first time, like, Neville has never interacted with anybody who's on Raw that's not a part of 205 Live since he went to 205 Live. So Enzo kind of broke that barrier. And then, you know, they did the crazy thing and actually gave him the belt. They put him over Dirty, which was interesting, at No Mercy, you know, using a dirty finish there, which was cool. But I think this, like, totally brings the cruiserweight division just back to, like, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to watching every week now. Enzo has sold me on this division because, even though he's kind of a jackass in real life, he is entertaining. And the way they're making him a heel is like he's the lovable heel. He's kind of, and I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to draw comparisons because there is no comparison here. But in some ways, he is the Eddie Guerrero type of lying, cheating, and stealing. And then everybody's still loving the lovable cheater, you know? We'll see if
he ever gets that far.
But I love what they've just done with the division, because right now no one can challenge him for the title. because he had a clause that if anybody hit him that wasn't in a match, that they would automatically forfeit their opportunity to title. And I don't know if you saw the fallout from Raw this week, but the entire division beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Also as well. Like, they really wanted to beat the shit out of him. Like, just go work him, boys. You know, to me, I think that Neville was doing great down there. I think there's a lot of talent on 205 Live. I just feel like they don't have anybody charismatic. It's like all these hard-working cruiserweights are great, but they don't have the best mic skills. They're like 60%, 70% mic skills. And Enzo's like a 94% mic skills kind of guy with maybe a 73% ring presence, you know, or maybe even lower than that. So he brings something special to SmackDown, to fucking 205 Live that is just it's nice. It's a fresh breath of air that is it's just good, man. It makes me happy.
Well, I think that's a lesson to us all.
That was the most bizarre.
Do you remember the Grand Theft Auto chatterbox?
Yeah.
Laszlo would say that, and it was just so like imperatively obvious that he wasn't listening.
Oh, because he wasn't listening.
Yeah. Like the dude would just be talking. And he goes, "Uh-huh."
Yep.
He goes, "Yeah, yeah, I heard about that." And at the end, like when he hung up, he goes, "Well, I think that's a lesson to us all." And then he would click, and then he would just go to the next call. No, I really don't have much to say on Enzo being on 205. I don't have a lot to say on that matter, other than I haven't been watching a whole lot of current product for the last week or so. And that is because of my kid.
Well, that's fine.
Well, I mean, he wants to watch wrestling now. And he wants to watch wrestling.
Oh, yeah? Who's he want to watch on wrestling?
Washo Man.
That's awesome.
Washo Man. So we've been watching a lot of 92 era Macho Man, Ric Flair, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper. We watched the whole, like, Bret Hart, Bulldog Wembley Stadium, SummerSlam 92. First time I think I've watched the entirety of SummerSlam 92 in a long time. Going through a little, just finding random Randy Savage matches to show him Randy Savage. And so when I've been wanting to go through and like, I need to finish No Mercy for the podcast this weekend. And I'm like, I want to watch Washo Man Randy Savage.
Hey, man, Macho takes precedent.
And so it was funny because I'm gearing up towards Royal Rumble 93. And of course, he participates in the Rumble. Macho Man does and gets eliminated by Yokozuna from the floor. Or from the ground of the ring.
Yep.
But I watched the Raw leading up to the Rumble. And it had an ad. It had one of his early Slim Jim ads.
Awesome.
Where he's like tearing up a bag of potato chips. It's like, oh, man, I miss this guy. Anyway, we lost somebody. I believe it was on the 14th of September. We lost the great Bobby the Brain Heenan. He'd been battling cancer for quite some time. And I had heard that he'd fallen pretty ill again recently. Bobby the Brain Heenan is one of the most talented talkers in the history of pro wrestling.
100%.
Whether you're manager or color commentator, dude had a wit that was so freaking sharp. It's some of the shit that he came up with. I've never had a single a commentator make me laugh as much as Bobby the Brain Heenan has. and I place him above King.
Yep.
I place him above Jesse Ventura.
Yep.
Of course, Ventura wasn't, he wasn't there for comedy's sake. He's a different style, I guess. Yeah, King was maybe a bit more of the comedy heel style to Heenan than Jesse was, but Heenan was second to none.
Correct.
Second to none, and I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge that because, you know, Nate, did you ever watch his Hall of Fame induction speech from 2004?
Yeah, I think so. Cause didn't he open it with "Miss You Monsoon" or something like that, or it was at the end, maybe.
That was at the end.
Yeah, absolutely awesome speech.
Yeah, and it's funny because he gets up there and he's like a little nervous. And he says, "That was the year that that Pete Rose got inducted."
Yep.
And then he's like, "I have a confession to make. I've bet on wrestling."
Yep. Had to rib Pete Rose as being ineligible to be a part of the MLB. Hall of Fame mm-hmm. due to betting on himself, or against himself, rather, I think. But, dude, Bobby the Brain Heenan's awesome because he called so many epic moments in wrestling history. He was there for big moments in the WWE days, earlier days. He was there for huge WCW moments. Looking at all, like he was pretty much there recalling all of the NWO birth and Sting, and during the really the pipe and hot era of WCW, Brain was just killing, you know. He and Monsoon did a great job color commentating together for many years.
They're my favorite duo.
They just worked so it was oil and water, you know.
Oh, dude. I absolutely love those two together. They're just absolutely. I love how Monsoon is just the everlasting baby face in that situation, and Bobby's always saying something off the wall. I watched a lot of 92 this week, and I watched him call a couple of Tito Santana matches, and I just love how he Tito'll do like a flying clothesline, and he'll just yell, "The flying jalapeno, the flying burrito." And then WrestleMania 8, Reba McEntire opened up singing the national anthem or something. Tito was the opening match with Shawn Michaels, and Reba was like leaving the ring area as Tito was coming down. So Tito like stopped and he like took her hand and kissed her hand, you know?
Yeah.
And then, Brain was going on about how she was Tito's sister. Monsoon's like, "That's not his sister." He goes, "Yeah, that's a Reba McEntire."
Oh, Reba.
Oh, man. I loved Heenan. And one of the last things he ever called was the gimmick Battle Royal for WrestleMania 17.
Yep.
And I'll never forget, like, the Iron Sheik walking out. And then and Brain saying, "By the time Sheik gets to the ring, it's going to be WrestleMania 35.
That's exactly
Sheik
double.
Ended up winning the damn thing.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's like, that was like almost exactly double WrestleMania 17 would have been another 17 WrestleManias to 35, which is where we're almost at. We're nearing that number. Jesus.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. Have they announced what city's going to host 35?
No, I don't think they announced it yet.
That'll be Rumble.
Yeah.
They'll announce it at Rumble.
Yeah, it'll probably be, I'm guessing, honestly, probably Chicago, because there hasn't been a Mania in Chicago since 22, right?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're not doing anything smaller than stadiums now.
Well, you could fucking bet on fucking your luck that global warming is super real and that by April 1st, Soldier's Field would be hot enough to have an outside Mania in Chicago.
It would have been this year.
Yeah, it would have been. You're right. So maybe in a couple years, that's possible. I don't know. But you're right. They'll probably pick something huge.
I know that for 34, New Orleans won the bid over Minneapolis with the new Viking Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Which that can seat a lot of freaking people, too.
Yeah.
I could see them going there before they go to Chicago. I'll be honest with you. It's all about, honestly, it's now the bidding war. It's like the city is going to pay WWE to bring them to their city because that city knows that there's going to be such an influx of economic boom coming in. So much more money will be made than what they spend to get them.
Absolutely. So
that's all up to Chicago and whether or not Chicago is willing to pay. Because if you have Minneapolis that's willing to pay more, New Orleans.
Atlanta just got a new stadium, the Falcons.
Because they just demolished the Georgia Dome.
Yep.
Which is where 27 was held.
Also where Goldberg won his title against Hogan. Mm-hmm.
Hogan, yeah. Yeah, WCW ran the Georgia Dome quite a bit, but they never really filled it up. Like there were other Nitros at the Georgia Dome. I don't know if you remember that or know that, but the one where like Goldberg won, that was one where they had like 40,000 people there for a single Nitro.
Yeah.
And WWE did 75,000 for WrestleMania.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hey, Brando.
Hey, Nate.
Real quick, I want to jump into this. We've only got four of them as of right now. So with that being said, I think it's not going to be like a long drawn-out thing. We're going to do some predictions for Hell in a Cell.
Let's go for it.
And this is, you just gut react. You can tell me why or what or choose to just give a quick answer. It's however you feel. But we're going to start with the big one on the card, in my opinion. This is the one everyone's going to be tuning in to watch. Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Hell in a Cell. What are your thoughts?
Owens wins, puts Shane down, but Shane puts up a hell of a fight.
Yeah, do you think Owens maybe gives him the respect, Pat, at the end, even though he crushes him?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
No respect at all. Just keep it full
no.
KO.
Owens, that goes against everything that Owens stands for, to give the respect, Pat. Absolutely not. No. Shane needs to fight, and he needs to go in there, and he needs to do a damn good job of putting Owens back. And then Owens ends up still winning, and Owens like flops out of the ring like he's barely won the damn thing. But then when he comes out on Tuesday, it's that old school heel, just like Flair used to do, just like Flair used to just barely leave with the title. And then you're like, son of a bitch, fucking Kerry Von Erich had him. I know he had him. He, God damn it, fucking horseman, you know?
Yeah.
And then that next Saturday, there's Flair with the belt. Acting like he did it all.
Like he was the easy man. Greatest.
Like it was almost just too easy for him. Even though we all know and we all saw how close he came to losing, it didn't matter. Because who's champ on Saturday night?
And a W is a W, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And so then Owens is going to use that. See, here's the thing, is that Owens is going to absolutely destroy Shane in the process, I feel.
Yeah.
Like that's where it has to go. Like Shane has to fight, and Shane will fight, and Shane will actually bring the Thunder to Owens, but then Owens is gonna have to shut him down, and then really put him down.
I like that. All right, let's move on here. How about some lineage here? I don't know that these guys had a ton of action against each other in their day, but their daughters are going to square off. It's the Queen of Hearts versus the Queen. This is Natalya putting up her SmackDown Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. Well, who do you got?
Well, I'm going to take Natalya here, and they did wrestle in NXT for the women's title there with Brett in Natalya's corner and Rick in Charlotte's corner. I don't remember if that was at a pay-per-view or Arrival, or it was early on in like the specials era.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give it off of Natalya yet. Just let her keep running with this a little bit.
I think that actually maybe you have Charlotte win. This was kind of, I was thinking about this because I look at this card, and with the exception of the last match we'll talk about on this card, I don't see any other changes happening really as far as titles are concerned. But I think maybe have Natalya lose to Charlotte. Yay, Charlotte has it. Natalya cheap shots her. Carmella cashes in. Almost as if Natalya says, good, now I don't have to beat Charlotte to get my title back. It's just fucking annoying Carmella, who I could probably easily dispose of.
Could happen.
Just an interesting different way to take it.
I could see it.
We'll move on here. How about the New Day and the Usos and what is one of the hottest feuds in wrestling right now? Honestly, they are both just killing it. Both teams are so good. They are both well-beloved and well-respected, and Usos do such a great job of getting natural heat while also just having this swagger that is, I mean, you want to talk about what fucking Roman Reigns should be doing, whatever the Usos are doing, like that, because they've got it. They've got it. Whatever it is, they've figured it out for themselves. But who do you have, New Day or the Usos? Hell in a Cell for the titles.
New Day are the champs, right?
Yes, they are, with Xavier and Big E being champs right now. Kofi's out on injury.
Yeah, and Xavier was injured too. But I think he's coming back just in time.
Yeah.
Usos take it.
Take the belts back off, keep them trading back and forth.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we've talked about it in the last episode, but I heard that now that they've been the longest reigning tag champions, WWE wanted to go the next step and make them the most reigning tag champions as well.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah, have the Usos get the win here, and then what I would do, if Starrcade is going to be a big SmackDown event, have New Day win the titles back at Starrcade, and have maybe New Day and Usos do something in Survivor Series that are not title-based.
Putting teams together. Team Uso versus Team New Day.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I think they're on Raw. Never mind. Titus Worldwide. They're on Raw. Because Akira Tozawa's over there and not Akira Toriyama, as you said. But let's move on here. Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke Nakamura for the title. You talked about this a little bit. Hell in a Cell. Let's go into it.
Well, that's not going to be a Hell in a Cell match, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
It says at Hell in a Cell. So, no, it is just a match. Weird. That's what I
thought. Well, because they already have the two matches that are set for Hell in a Cell. I want Shinsuke to get it here because I actually do like the idea of Shinsuke getting it and then Mahal getting it back because it kind of gives Mahal like a stutter. And as you said, this feud isn't really helping either of them. And in this, having Shinsuke win it will delay the feud, add another layer to it, and then give Mahal something to do. It, you know, you don't have to rush somebody else up.
Like he can ramp up his aggression, too.
Yes.
Well, a loss from a Hall lets him get a little bit more aggressive.
Yes. Yes. And I think there's another match. They haven't announced it yet, but it's going to be Bobby Roode versus Dolph.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just on SmackDown this week. I forgot to mention that, which that match, I'm taking Bobby. Even though I want it to be close, I think they can both look, those two together, man, they're both great performers, great competitors. Mm-hmm. It could be a solid like 4.5-star match on that card if they're allotted more than 3 minutes to tell their story.
Yeah.
You know, okay, go out there and do your best. You gave us fucking 45 seconds. What are we supposed to do?
Now, does Dolph emulate an entrance for his entrance?
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. Glorious. And everybody pops. And then it's Dolph. Him. And then everybody's like, boo, ultra heat. And then when Bobby comes out, it's an ultra pop. Because it's actually him. Dude, that's very clever, Brando. I love that, actually. I really hope they go that route. I wonder, it would be crazy if they did something like totally left field and maybe did like Drew McIntyre's entrance. Everybody was like, what? Drew McIntyre's coming out? Because, you know, they kind of, Bobby and him had that feud at the NXT. And then obviously it's Dolph, and then everybody would be like, this is fucking weird. That's just a random other take. It doesn't have to be something that actually happens because I'm in the twilight of talking. So with that being Hell in a Cell, there's not really a shit ton more we can talk about, but I do want to say there's some cool stuff happening in NXT as well. That was the team, dude. That's the team that the Shield should fucking face. A debuting Insanity. Because they're a three-piece with Nikki Cross as well.
Ms. Sanity.
Oh, he brings them up. Ooh, that'd be dope as fuck. Eric Young is so talented. I love him. I've loved him since TNA days. I really can't wait for him to debut on the main roster. It's weird. There's just like a plethora of amazing talent down in NXT right now. They're doing a great job of building their women's division back up. And mad shout out, dude. There's a chick who's on NXT right now from your neck of the woods.
Yeah. She tried out not too long ago. Yeah.
No, Ruby Riott. She's already like fucking.
Well, I know she's on TV, but I was saying that I remember when she tried out like a while ago, like a long time ago.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's fucking awesome. Cause you know, they do say from Lafayette, Indiana, which was cool. I was like, hey, I know that place. I've been there many a time. Yeah. But that division was awesome. They had the Mae Young Classic. Shayna Baszler did not win, which is interesting. They were teasing that maybe they were going to have Ronda join WWE, but now that's probably off the table. And a lot of weird behind the scenes politics going on in the world of wrestling, as there always is. But I don't, you know, to go back again, one last thing I want to say about the Bullet Club is they're being the elite channel on YouTube is awesome. They're just steps ahead, and they're really hilarious and entertaining. And I feel that Cody Rhodes or Cody or the American Nightmare Cody or whatever you want to call him, he's done exactly what he needed to do, because everything got so stale with him in WWE and they weren't letting him be himself. And, you know, now he gets to be fucking incredible. He's so over in the indies. He's incredibly over. If he were to make a return into WWE, he would be top tier star immediately at this point. And it's what, look at guys like Jinder, look at guys like Drew McIntyre. They left, they come back. When they come back, everything changes for them. And then they're on this other upper echelon of talent. Back to NXT for a minute. You've got like the whole Bullet Club being teased with Adam Cole, baby, and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. And they're doing great things. And then there's this whole dichotomy of like everybody is against the unofficially called Bullet Club. So I think that there's a lot of promise for wrestling right now. However, I can understand completely why you're having a hard time watching the product, because it is hard for me to watch too at times. And actually, it's so hard for me to watch that I've actually condensed how I watch wrestling. There's a channel called Wrestling Worlds with a Z, and actually the Journey into Comics YouTube is subscribed to that. So if you have that on your phone, you can just automatically get it. They do 20-minute highlight reels of the events every night after each show. GFW, Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, pay-per-view.
That's something to talk about on the next episode if we get a chance.
What?
A GFW.
Oh.
Not being GFW anymore.
Going no.
Back to Impact Wrestling.
Back to Impact Wrestling. Maybe Impact Anthem. Maybe Anthem packed in Wrestling TNA. 5-6 sides ring thing. Fucking weird. It's so weird. I watch
5-sided ring.
Yeah.
Like a Pentagon.
Yeah.
That's weird.
The presidential ring.
This is the presidential Pentagon.
Oh.
Did you? Not to just deviate too much, but I just remember this.
Sure.
But like Donald Trump sued the NFL back in the early 90s.
I don't know this.
Okay, so Donald Trump got involved with maybe this was in the 80s. Yeah, it was in the 80s. My bad. Back in the 80s, he got involved with the USFL.
Okay.
The United States Football League. And the USFL was created to be an alternative to the NFL.
Yeah.
Reminds you a little bit about the XFL, huh?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But here we go with this, in that they were going to play football in the spring. And so Donald Trump ended up buying a team and then getting further control of the actual league. And so they had a few seasons, and they were pretty successful. And I think they might have had a few networks that aired NFL. But since it was on a different season, well, let's air it, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Well, then Trump is like, we're going to move the USFL to the fall for direct competition. And the networks freaked out. They're like, no. So then Donald Trump decided that it was time to sue the NFL for monopolizing the networks for fall sports for football. He sued them for multiple millions of dollars, and he won.
What?
$3.14.
$3?
Okay, maybe it's $3.74. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He won that and then got a lifetime ban from the NFL.
And now he's shit talking the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I read that article and I'm just like, if this is true, I mean, again, I don't know. But I could definitely see that being true.
I mean,
poor Donald spent all that money on attorney fees
and then only make $3.14.
$3.
No wonder he's fucking bankrupt everything he does. You know what's weird? Man. We didn't cover this in Journey into Comics, but I want to real quick bring this up to you, that I don't know if you know this, but you know that this season of The Walking Dead, you're going to hear the word fuck like often?
Really?
AMC has officially fought against the FCC, and I don't know what they cited as their reason, but we will hear that word more than once this year, unedited. So, and that's a little Journey into Comics news for you folks. Back a couple days ago on Journey into Comics 159, surprisingly good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
All I have to do is make a face.
Dude, you kill me every time. Every fucking time. Son of a bitch. Oh. Well, fuck, Brando. You got anything else to add before we get off of Journey into Wrestling?
You know, not a lot. I do plan on watching Hell in a Cell. I do really want to see the Owens and McMahon match, which is going to be the last match on the card.
Yeah.
So I'll probably end up watching. And I do want to see Bobby and Dolph and... Oh, AJ and Baron Corbin for the U.S. title.
Ugh. AJ by a landslide kicks him in the fucking head.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that shit.
I love AJ, but I don't think that Baron with him did Baron any favors, even if it does AJ all the favors.
Putting Baron Corbin with Baron Corbin doesn't do Baron Corbin any favors.
No. Baron Corbin, the man of missed opportunity, that's what they're going to call him when he retires and doesn't get the Hall of Fame. Hey, you guys putting Baron Corbin in? Nah, maybe we'll talk about it next year.
Edge is Mr. Opportunity.
He's Mr. Inopportunity.
Baron is just missed opportunity.
Yes. Yes, that's awesome. Brandon, did you want to get into the plugs of Journey into Wrestling?
Well, you know what? You can find us on the interwebs. We have a Facebook page at Journey into Wrestling.
That's awesome.
We have a Twitter at JIW on JIC.
That's awesome.
I don't use as much as I use the other ones.
I don't have log into that yet, or I would use it.
Eh, I'll get it to you.
Cool.
I hope. I don't think we have an Instagram.
Not yet. Maybe I'll make one.
No, not yet. But
we can display some of our wrestling memorabilia.
Yeah, you can find us right here at on journeytocomics.com. Of course, we are a seasonal show now. We're going to be going from SummerSlam to WrestleMania. And we're going to be reviewing the shows as we go along, talking about the news and the goings-on around the world of wrestling. Of course, if you've not noticed, we kind of focus primarily on the big dog, on the WWE, but we do talk about some other stuff, like the Bullet Club, like the New Japan. Next time, I kind of want to take a segment out to talk about what's going on with what culture.
Wrestling big stuff. Shake-up over there.
Yes, and I just read that they are relaunching their promotion. They were called WCPW, which I really liked that name for some reason. I didn't like the What Culture Pro Wrestling, but I liked the WCPW. I wish they could have just kept the letters and then changed the name of what WC to stood for. But I digress.
We can produce wrestling. Steal that, send it. I don't care.
They're going to relaunch after the next pay-per-view they have, which is called Refuse to Lose. That's going to be the last pay-per-view under the WCPW name. Now, henceforth, they're going to be called Defiant Wrestling.
Of course, because they left and they're being defiant.
Yes.
I love that.
We Are Defiant will be broadcast live on pay-per-view. That's their first one. We Are Defiant.
Sweet.
Yeah, because all those guys, Adam Blompier and Adam Bacchetti and King Ross and Jobber Jack, and yeah, they're all gone or will be gone from What Culture. And. I will no longer be subscribed to What Culture.
I heard that What Culture is also going to be moving into other facets that are not wrestling.
Well,
they're going to really be expanding like heavily.
Yeah, well, see, the wrestling thing took over.
Yeah.
Because What Culture, it was originally called What Culture WWE, and then they changed it to What Culture Wrestling. Because What Culture in itself is a site that's many things, but the YouTube channel What Culture Wrestling really took off, and I've been watching that for a long time. I like their personalities. I think they're pretty cool, but I guess I'm gonna follow them wherever they're gonna go. They've done really good for themselves. They started the Upstart promotion. They've had quite a few guys go over and work for them. So hats off to them. I hope they can keep the momentum going without. The What Culture crew. So I guess we won't talk about it next episode. We just talked about it now.
We just talked about it now, folks. It's a little bonus content here on Journey into Wrestling.
Bonus content. But yeah, guys, check us out on all your favorite podcast subscription services, whether it's Podbean right here. You can download the app. Check us out on journeytocomics.com. Check out the website. And you can check out all the other shows there as well. You can check us out on iTunes if you want.
Stitcher.
Just search Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. Just search the Journey to Comics Network. We're in there. You'll find Journey to Wrestling Season 2. And eventually, guys, if you head over to Patreon, We're actually going to be throwing up all of the old Journey into Wrestling episodes up there as lost episodes at some point. I'm going to try and get that up. And best of all, guys, that's going to be free content over there. I'm not going to charge for that. It's all available over on YouTube. If you guys want to see it there, we don't really plug YouTube that much. We don't do much with it. All the episodes do get uploaded there. There's like 30 or so that are missing. I need to get around to doing that. That's just time. And with all the podcast editing that I've been doing with my show, other shows, her show.
Every show.
I do a lot of work, and you do a lot of work, Nate. And
we have our hands in a lot of cookie pots, cookie jars.
Cookie pots.
Cookie pots.
What? Pot cookies.
Whoa. It's a whole different kind of journey into wrestling, man. That's Rob Van Dam. It's the Rob Van Dam special, man.
That's a trip into wrestling.
Ooh, I
thank
like
you
that.
Guys. Thank you guys for checking out this episode, episode 2 of season 2. If that's going to be it for us this week, we will catch you here in a few weeks every other Wednesday. I think that's what it's going to end up being right now. Every other Wednesday, as of this moment in time, we're going to be here on the Journey to Comics Network for you guys. So if that is it, I've been Brando.
Woo! I've been Nate.
And we will see you then.
Too sweet.
Cease and desist.